This is Sonny Smith, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone.
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 708.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins!
Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
From the palatial White Rocket Studios in Southern Illinois and Eastern Virginia, it's the AU Wishbone Podcast. John, how are you?
Very well, Ben. How are you?
I am doing very well tonight. I am your host, Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, it is the end of basketball season and the middle of football practice in the spring. Still freezing cold where I am, but you know that it seems like good times are ahead. It's going to get warmer, and it seems like things in Auburn world are on the upswing a little bit. What do you think?
Spring has already fully arrived in Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Flowers are blooming there, the trees are budding, and it's slowly moving up the planet towards where you and I live.
That's right.
Maybe spring one day. Mm-hmm. And that's exciting, and excited to talk about some spring football.
Yeah, we have a bit of football talk and discussion and news coming up in just a second. But first, I think we need to close out the basketball season, put a fork in it. And while Auburn got to the second round, and that's fine for yet another year, we didn't get stuck before that. We always get past the round of 64, and we did. We got to round 32. But there's another team in the same state as Auburn that had much higher expectations, not even hopes. We had hopes this year. We had hopes. They had expectations. And, you know, I was trying to find where their final four invitation might be sitting, and I've been looking around for Alabama's Final Four invitation, and
I suppose you could say they're invisible, hidden in a dark room that's at the center of a maze that's located somewhere up here.
That doesn't seem like it can be found, in other words.
I think they could try to purchase a ticket on StubHub to get into the Final Four, but that's about the only way they're going.
They can watch it. They will not be participating in it. This is true. I think that we can conclude that Alabama basketball this year was just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
They couldn't make the key assist to each other when they needed it. So
that's exactly, no. There's so many jokes I could make that would be in very bad taste, worse than that. But I'm, you know me, normally I'll still go for it, but because I... entertainment above all else, you know, but I can't bring myself with some things are just a little too bad. But, you know, you've pointed out that sometimes life gets rough and it's nice to have something come along that makes you feel better about things.
And you know what makes us feel better about things?
What is that,
Jim? Alabama losing to San Diego State in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, and you know what Alabama fans were saying?
What?
No! I'm devastated! I'm devastated, and they're celebrating right in front of me!
Yes, they
were. This is the worst! This is the worst!
Yeah?
No!
And I don't know if
I think
it was.
That's an actual Alabama fan of their band.
That was actual recording of an Alabama fan at the Sweet 16. I don't know if that was I don't know if that was San Diego State people celebrating right in front of him or Auburn people, because it amounted to the same thing, honestly, at that point.
Listen, we're a pro Schadenfreude podcast.
We are.
You know, we don't take the high road in that kind of stuff.
No.
We take some joy in the misery of our competition. When they go through it, we're going to savor it and enjoy it because they. Would do it to us, and also because they're obnoxious about it when they're celebrating. So we're going to enjoy it when they lose. And this particular Alabama team, more than other teams, I really just brought out the joy from every corner of the internet when they lost, and I enjoyed every moment of it.
That's exactly right. And in just a second, we're going to talk about not only did they lose, they lost with possibly the easiest path any team has ever had laid out, a number one has ever had. And we're going to get to that. But, you know, when they got back to Tuscaloosa after that game, people were pointing at them and saying,
"There they are."
Yeah, that's it. They were pointing at them. There was a little girl about 5 years old that pointed at Alabama players and Coach Oates and said,
"There they are. Are they not a shame on their country?"
Yeah, they are. They're shame on their country. Shame on their state.
Shame.
Hey, Nick Saban looked at him getting off the bus and said,
"You have failed me for the last time."
Which is possible that he said that. I don't know, you know. But and you know, they brought out the Alabama theme song, which we do play, you know. We're not that, you know, partisan. We will play the Alabama fight song on our show. And so they brought the band out to welcome them back to Tuscaloosa, and they started playing the Alabama fight song. Russia, number one. Iran, number one. Bama. Bama. Number one seed go horribly wrong.
Number 1-6.
No, yes. Number one seed go down in flames. Go down. Yeah. So, and I don't feel like we're enjoying this enough. I do think that when Alabama loses, you and I need to.
We gotta get better at celebrating.
We do need to, but you know, that's all right. We're doing all right. We're doing all right.
Listen, after it happened, I turned on Twitter and put a marshmallow on a stick and just enjoyed the barbecue and the smoking of them again and again. Enjoyed every moment of it. So
well, and again, I mean, they went back on campus to class the next day, and as they walked into class, the other students said,
"You don't have any friends. Nobody likes you."
That's too bad. I mean, they tried, I guess, right? Didn't they, you know, didn't they try a little bit?
Speaking of trying.
Yeah.
Brandon Miller had the worst performance by a player basically ever in the NCAA tournament.
Wow.
He is That's the incredible. Only player since 1960 to shoot under 20% with a minimum of 40 shot attempts in the NCAA tournament. So literally the worst shooting performance ever by any player since 1960. Think about all the terrible shooters, for example, that came through in the 80s that chucked up a bunch of shots that had no business shooting, and Brandon Miller was worse than all of them.
What happened? How did that even happen? Not that I'm not thrilled about it, but how does that happen?
Came up small in the big moment, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess, you know, what do they call it? Blue-collar basketball? I guess it was a white-collar corporate meeting, and they showed up in their blue collar, and they brought a hammer to a slide rule meeting. You know, when your only tool is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. I don't know how that really relates here. I just thought it was funny. But they showed up. They showed up for a corporate meeting using PowerPoints, and they brought a hammer. Just doesn't get the job done, old blue-collar basketball there. Yeah, blue collar is all well and good until you need anything beyond that. Then it's not so good, like running the wishbone, you know, against Miami and with their passing game and stuff. You just can't do that. So Alabama is now the worst, has the worst one-loss record of any team. What is it? In the
Sweet 16 or later, they are 1-9. So, again, they've been in the Elite Eight once.
Yeah.
They've been in the Sweet 16.
10 times.
And lost nine times.
That's incredible. Yeah, that's just incredible. We've been to the Sweet 16. Let's see. We went to the Sweet 16 in year two, the first person year. We went to the Elite Eight, 1-1. And we went once with Ellis. And we went once with Bruce and won. So I think we are 2-2 in the Sweet 16. There seemed like we've been there more than that, but that right. I know we lost in the Sweet 16 the year we had the really good team under Cliff Ellis, and I know that we won in the Sweet 16 under Bruce, and we won under Sonny, and we lost under Sonny. So those are the four that stand out to me. 2-2. I may be forgetting one or something. I'm not sure. How far did Cliff Ellis's team with Marquise Daniels get? The one that lost to Syracuse, was that in the Sweet 16 or was that in 32?
I think it was 32, but okay. the I thought the Chris Porter one went to 16, but maybe it was the other way around. So,
well, the team we had that had Damian Fish back and Doc Robinson and all that, Mamadou Njie, they went to the Sweet 16. Yes. They're the ones that lost Ohio State.
That's right. Scootie Penn,
yeah. So they got to the Sweet 16 and lost. And the Chuck Person the first time year lost in the Sweet 16 to like North Carolina or somebody. Yes. But we won in the Sweet 16 against UNLV, and we won in the Sweet 16 against Kentucky. No, against North Carolina. Yeah, North Carolina was the Sweet 16. Kentucky was the Elite Eight. Went to the Final Four.
Speaking of which, the two worst teams ever in the Sweet 16 are Alabama and Tennessee.
A combined 2-16.
And the only win that Tennessee ever had in the Sweet 16 was coached by?
Bruce Pearl.
That's it.
He's the only coach to get Tennessee to the Elite Eight and the only coach to get Auburn to the Final Four.
That's right. He's good.
That's incredible. So we got to talk about the path they took, but I just want to point out, this is an incredible Final Four. I mean, the closest thing to a blue blood in it is 4-seed UConn, who used to be good, you know.
Yes.
So you got UConn, and then after that, it's 2 5-seeds and a 9-seed. And that's the crazy thing. So you've got the old, 9-seed Florida Atlantic, who that one of those teams usually gets there every year, and they lose in the Final Four. But the thing is, they're going to lose. If they lose, if Florida Atlantic loses in the Final Four this year, it'll be like a 4 or 5 seed. It won't be to the 1 seed that normally knocks out the Cinderella. Because you've got basically 3.5 Cinderellas this year, right?
Yes. Yes.
It's crazy. This is the second best Final Four ever to me after the one we were actually in.
It's really fun. Everybody was like, oh, I wish the big name teams were there. I love it. I think it's really fun. I think it's the games have been great, and I think the Final Four games are going to be really fun. And I can't wait to see what happens.
Oh, that Texas Miami game was awesome. That was a great game. I couldn't look away. I was loving that. Texas was, Miami was like down 10 and they came back and won by 8 or something. It was like a huge swing in the last 5 minutes of the game. I'd almost written them off. I'm like, oh, Texas got this now. No. And I was excited too because while I don't like Miami ever for 1983, it has been a while.
And last year.
And last year. But see, here's the thing. I look back at Miami last year, and I'm mad that we lost to them. But I don't hate them for doing well. You know what I mean? It's not the same thing. I hate 83 Miami because we didn't even play them. They just broke into our house and stole our trophy. So I hate them. I don't hate last year's Miami basketball team because they didn't steal anything from us. They just played a better game, and I respect that. I give them credit. Yes. And so I want them to keep doing well to make us look better. And I was cheering for Miami all the way against Texas because I wanted to see, I generally cheer for the lower seeds. I want to see, this is my dream.
Yes, every time.
Again, other than Auburn being in it, this is like a dream Final Four for me because it's a bunch of Cinderellas and one of them has to win by default. And I love that. Yes. We're going to get a really weird national champion this year or UConn in a weird year. Yes. So I'm absolutely against UConn winning it. Because they would be the most conventional of these unconventional. You know what I mean?
I get that.
Yeah. So what about Alabama's path, though? This path was incredible. Walk us through what Alabama would have had to do.
So for them to make it to the Elite Eight, their path was Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, Maryland, the 8 seed.
That's fair. Maryland, okay. Not a great Maryland team, but Maryland's at least a brand name.
San Diego State, the 5 seed.
Good Lord.
And then Creighton.
Texas A&M, Corpus. They don't even have the common decency for it to be Texas A&M. It's Texas A&M, Corpus Christi. Maryland, okay. San Diego State and Creighton. That's your path. I'm sure that when Auburn got to the Final Four a few years ago, John, we must have played a very similar path, right? What was our red carpet that was laid out for us to the Final Four? Would you go through that for me real quick?
That was that path was New Mexico State, Kansas, North Carolina, and Kentucky.
Good gosh. Really?
The 3 winningest programs ever, and then followed with New Mexico State, whose coach is now in the SEC. And I think Alabama had an incredibly easy path and choked and lost their way out of the tournament and went down in flames, and it was delightful, and I'm enjoying every moment of it.
I And honestly, New Mexico State might have been the hardest game.
It was a really tough game.
Yeah, we always. I mean, it's the one we came the closest to losing, honestly. But I mean, so think about that. We beat Kansas, North Carolina, Kentucky. They beat Texas A&M, Maryland, and then didn't beat San Diego State and would have gotten Creighton. I mean, that's just unbelievable. Just unbelievable. All right. So how are you going to sum all? How you want to sum all this up then?
The sum is this: Auburn has a Final Four, and you do not.
Yeah, my question is to Alabama. It is alleged by some that you have souls, Alabama people. I cannot verify that fact, but for a few that I know. But I am told by reliable sources you have souls. You are not soulless automatons designed only to taunt Auburn people into frustration and misery. Was it worth selling your alleged souls and any shred of moral integrity you had left for a Sweet 16 exit? Was it worth it? I hope so. I hope that you thought that was worth it, because that's what you did. There you go. Somebody told Justin Hokanson that he said something about Auburn is still the only school in Alabama to have a Final Four appearance. And this dude goes, "Why don't you hang a banner about it?" And he goes, "Okay," and took a picture of the banner and sent it. Like, how do you walk into that? How do you walk? We've got a gargantuan banner that says Final Four on it. You're darn right. You're darn right. That was so funny. All right. Well, good old Alabama fans. Self-owning as always. Any other basketball tidbits? Go ahead.
No, it's the gift that keeps on giving.
They are always the gift that keeps on giving. So, football spring practice. But I did notice that there's a fairly noteworthy transfer rule change. And this is something that we've kind of been expecting, I think, was going to come, right? That they were going to tighten up the faucet just a little bit because so many transfers just constantly. So basically what they are doing is the NCAA is saying that you can only basically transfer once before it starts impacting your eligibility. Like you have to, if you transfer twice, you have to sit out a year or do the old, you know, the old fashioned thing. You basically get one free transfer, as what I understand it, unless it's for some, you know, specific reason, hardship, and they list some exceptions.
This is where they got in trouble last time.
Yeah.
Because they outlined some hardship things and the players were hiring attorneys to fit them in one of those hardship boxes and the NCAA couldn't say no. And the players were forced to move anyway. So it's just, you're setting yourself up for failure here.
Yeah. So you think this is not a good idea? They should just let them?
Well, there should be rules. The biggest thing we need to do is change the calendar, because we end up with this situation, especially in December, where we have coaches coaching in bowl games while the transfer portal is open and while they're recruiting for early signing day and while coaches are changing jobs. So all four of those things are happening to the same people at the same moment, and that is not good. That's not good for coaches and their families and stuff. And it's not good for players. So I just think, like, we need to draw some lines and say these things happen during this time period and these things happen during this time period.
Well, they just keep tweaking the rules and messing with it and change it, and we'll see if they ever, get it all the way right. Oh, well. All right, so spring practice continues. Emphasis, a lot of talk this week about quarterbacks.
Yes. And quarterbacks in a good way, where the previous freeze comments have been the quarterbacks have been kind of a weakness, holding us back.
Yes.
And this week, today, it was, hey, the quarterbacks had a really good week.
Yeah. It's encouraging in the sense that he was so negative about him there for a while. It was just sounding like, oh, woe is me. We're all going to die. We're going to go 0-12 next year for a minute there. And I never thought that. I mean, he has a certain level of expectation. And it's like every coach that comes to Auburn from outside, not like, you know, like I don't think Gus thought this because he had just been at Auburn 2 years, you know, the year before. But coaches that come to Auburn from some other place, they're always like, wow, I expected that Auburn would have more talent than this, better players than this. And I'm always like, why do you think we fired the last guy? Because the talent level went down. That's why we brought you in to do something about it. And I think that Freeze understands that. I mean, unfortunately for him, more than most coaches who have taken over for Auburn, there was not a lot of, there was, you know, a certain dearth of quality at certain positions.
Sure, and I think he's been honest about that. And I appreciate the fact that he has been kind of honest and direct about that, because I think he's trying not to build up fan expectation too much. He's trying to say, look, we got some real holes still.
Yeah.
You know, we got some real problems. We're better. We filled some, you know, some giant gaping holes in the transfer portal and recruiting, but it doesn't mean that we're great everywhere.
I think that the coach that took over, because even when Pat Dye took over from Barfield, he had some pretty good players on that team, and yes, he was able to immediately bring some in too, you know, including Lionel James. You know, I always thought it was too bad that Dye never got to have Brooks and Cribbs and Andrews, but he just missed them. But I think the coach that took over and had the worst situation personnel wise was Tuberville, because he came in, yes, in 99 and Terry had just set fire to the place and walked out, and there was nothing. He didn't have at least Freeze comes in and has Jarquez Hunter and Damari Alston. You know, Tuberville had no running backs on that team. There were none. Yeah. He was playing a receiver at running back. That was incredible in 99. Yeah, we just didn't even try to run
the ball. It was not good.
No, we had Clifton Robinson back there playing running back at like 160 pounds, and we were using Ronnie Daniels on the sweep from the receiver side just to have somebody in the backfield when they snapped the ball. Oh, man, those are the days, man. But anyway, so Holden Gurnier is apparently making a little splash. I've heard now, look, we always point out that Auburn has a preternaturally large media, right? There are literally dozens of people that make a living talking about Auburn sports 365 days a year. You and I don't make a living doing that, but we do it anyway. But there are people that's their job, right? And yes, they're always looking for stuff to write about and podcast about and broadcast about and go on Feinbaum about. So I understand they're going to look for every little morsel they can grab onto and make an entire feature column out of. I get that. But it did seem like there was kind of a little mini storm, little, you know, around Gurnier this week.
Well, and it got stronger today.
Okay.
Hugh Freeze this afternoon said Gurnier had a great week of practice.
Woo!
And when the media was out there, Holden Gurnier was with the number ones. So supposedly he had a good scrimmage. When part of the discussion you were talking about was last week they had the pro day thing, and he threw for some guys a pro day, and they talked about how good he was doing.
Yes.
So I think there's real momentum for him. He got praise from Freeze directly in the press conference today. So I think he is kind of making a move. Part of it is Ashford's banged up. He has a sore shoulder. And we know they're not letting the quarterbacks do live stuff in the scrimmages. And that does hamper Ashford's best things.
That's always going to make Finley look better and Ashford look worse. Because Finley stands there whether there's whether he's wearing an orange jersey or not. And without being able to run around, you know, in other words, there's very little difference between.
Could we get him an orange jersey in the game?
In the game, yeah, that would be nice. That would be super nice. Yeah, there's very little separation between TJ Finley in practice and TJ Finley in an actual game. So you're getting him at his best pretty much in practice. But I'll put it this way: I've been wondering about Gurnier just because. He has the taint on him that he was brought in at the very beginning of
potatoes.
And so, you know, there was, you know, is how good is he? How good is he? He was like a 4-star quarterback.
Yes.
He was a coveted
good recruit.
I think Gus was recruiting him before he left, maybe. And so he was a good recruit, and he's a year older. And so he hasn't really been ruined yet, like he could have been if he'd played a couple of years and, you know, here or there.
He got a few snaps in last year, but nothing huge. But he got on the field in a game.
Yeah. Well, they said that, Tank? I think it was Tank that said he went up to Gurnier and said, you don't look like a freshman anymore. And Gurnier says, I don't feel like a freshman anymore, or something like, I'm not a freshman anymore, or something. Or either Gurnier said to him, I'm not a freshman anymore, and Tank said, you don't look like one. You know, something like that. There was a really cool kind of interplay between the two of them. And And that's why Tank had him out there. Tank said that some scouts were telling him that they liked him catching the ball and that we didn't do enough of that. Shocking news update. Yeah. Auburn 2021-2022 squandered a good resource on offense. I know you're shocked, but try to breathe.
In ways that we all predicted that was happening. So
yeah. So Tank wanted to demo at Pro Day. He wanted to demo himself catching some passes, and he wanted Gurnier out there to be the one throwing it to him.
I love Robbie Ashford, but I wouldn't let him throw it to me if I was in front of pro scouts trying to catch the ball.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, again, Robbie's awesome, but he's the last thing you need in that circumstance because he'll find a way to get you a couple of yards. Well, you're not out there trying to get a couple of yards. You're trying to provide a catchable ball every time for somebody who's demoing. So right, exactly. What about the defense?
I mean, I talked to some of the defensive players, especially last week, and one of the things that's coming out of that, talking to them and the Jeremy Garrett, the defensive line coach, is they're definitely going to play more players on the defensive line and rotate more than we did the last 2 years. They're going to play, you know, 8-9 guys, and especially with those big transfers we got from other major schools, those guys are going to play. And we're going to have the kind of depth where we can run out three new guys, you know, in the middle of a series and basically do a shift change on the defensive line. And I think over the course of the game, that's going to make a difference so we can have our best players fresh at the end of the game and we can wear on the offensive line. So,
yeah, that sounds good. I mean, if only somebody had thought of doing that before. What a revolutionary idea.
It's crazy, Tam.
It is. Fairweather, the tight end.
He looks good. I mean, people keep talking about him, keep talking about him making plays, but also a different kind of tight end than Auburn has had in a while. I mean, really since CJ Uzomah.
Yeah.
He's had a player that can get up the field and make a catch.
I want him to do really well so that they can sell Fairweather fan shirts or hats or something, bumper stickers.
He should go straight to that as an NIL thing. Where he just has his own branding. I'm a Fairweather fan.
I'm a Fairweather fan. Absolutely.
I like it. I'm in.
How is he not playing for Alabama with that with that whole motif? How is he not a Bama guy with that motif? I don't understand it. You remember when Lawyer Tillman was there was a bumper sticker that said Auburn has a good lawyer, and it was kind of ironic because right after that was Eric Ramsey, and we're like, oh, maybe we need a good lawyer. All right, let's see. What about, there's a couple of other players, freshmen, that you want to talk about.
Hey, a couple of big freshmen making an impact that were talked about today. One is Kayan Lee, who's the defensive back, cornerback, who's we got away from Ohio State at the end of signing day. And he has, we only have about four corners in camp. And so he is the fourth one. He's playing a lot. And so we're going to have more coming in the summer. We're going to have, another three or four. So there'll be plenty of depth by the time the season starts. But this guy is a player, and he is everything they've said today and before today is he is going to play this year, 100%.
I didn't realize it was that thin. It seemed like for the last few years we've just had more defensive backs than we knew what to do with.
Well, we have a lot of safeties and nickels.
Okay.
And two, again, Pritchett and DJ James came back. They're the starters. We also have Rim, who actually got banged up today. He's the guy who played corner some last year as a true freshman. And then Kaylin Lee, and then we have three or four freshmen coming in the summer. So we have enough. And our starting corners are really good. They're players. And I think, a year from now, it could be Rim and Kaylin Lee our starting cornerback. So.
Well, he is officially dubbed then. I dub thee Raisin Kayan Lee. He's going to bring the sauce and the crinkle fries. I like it.
No slaw.
I'm a big slaw guy. I like my slaw.
Extra fries or extra sauce.
This is what's so funny. And I try to eat bread. So every time I go to Raisin Kayan's, I tell them I want the box or whatever. I said I want no toast, extra fries. And what do I get, John? You know what I get.
No slaw with toast.
With toast, yeah. And I go back and I say, you didn't give me my slaw. They said, you said you didn't want any. I said, yeah, no, I did. I said, I wanted slaw. I said, I wanted no toast. They pull out the receipt. The receipt says, no slaw, extra fries. I say, yeah, that's what they put on the register because they hear what they think they're hearing. But that's not what I said. It's incredible. Anyway, nobody cares. But it's a chicken finger conversation. It's perfectly legit on Auburn podcast.
So the other freshman that
that's
they talked
where I'm
about
going
today.
Yes.
Was that Hugh Freeze talked about Connor Liu, and we've had reports of him being with the first team offensive line multiple times. And Freeze today said, we hit a home run with Connor Liu.
Wow.
And he will absolutely play as a freshman this year.
Wow. I mean,
freshman offensive lineman.
That never hardly happened.
And in a good way, not in a we're desperate, the building's on fire, we're going to play this freshman offensive lineman.
Just
either.
He's good.
He's beating other people out, and he is a player.
Wow. The one that always comes to my mind is the guy from, what's his name, the big blonde dude that was on the 2010 national championship team as a senior. But yeah, I think Zimba was playing as a freshman in 07. I think he was. Because he kept false starting, remember? He was great, and then he'd false start. And he was great, and he'd false start. He did that his whole career. But he was awesome. He got a national championship. I'm really digging Freeze having good, positive things to say. That's very encouraging. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we lost some linebackers, apparently.
Yes. So the linebackers got praised last week for being a position of strength, but we brought in two transfers, and we've got some freshmen coming in and some guys we redshirted last year. So two linebackers we recruited a couple of years ago that had kind of dropped down the depth chart, transferred out. One is Desmond Tisdall, and the other was Derek Brown's younger brother.
I never got the sense that they were super high on Derek Brown's brother. I kind of always got the sense it's like, yeah, he's Derek Brown's brother. We'll give him a shot, you know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but that was just always the impression that kind of I got. And clearly, if he was that far down the depth chart. So where are we then in the linebacker room, as they say then? I mean, is this really bad or just depth or what? I mean,
no, I don't think it's a problem at all. It's some depth, but I also think we got plenty. Again, we brought in these two transfers, one from LSU and one from Ole Miss, and those guys are going to play.
Yeah.
So these two guys that are leaving were not going to play. So it's fine. I'm not worried about it at all.
And then to cap it all off, we got a really good running back commitment for next year.
Yes.
I think it was.
And a bigger running back, something you've been asking for.
Yes.
This guy's like 6'1", 225.
Oh, as a high school player.
Yes.
Yeah, he could be Rudy Johnson, man. He could be one of those big old bruisers. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Jamarian Burnett.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the guy we got, and that's what we were talking about, a different style running back. We got – Batie in as a transfer this year. He's a small, super fast guy. And Hunter and Alston are both about, 5'11", 200. And this is a bigger, different kind of guy. And the guy we brought in, Cobb, as this year is more of a speed guy, kind of a big play guy. So it's
good,
different types.
I forgot about him. Yeah, the comparison I heard about this new guy is Derrick Henry.
All right, I like that.
That'll work, which makes me think of like Steven Davis.
Yeah, I think I was thinking about Steven Davis, Bostic, that kind of bigger, more powerful running back.
Yeah. Well, we definitely needed somebody like that. I mean, the kid from South Florida, whatever, is welcome and yay, but he's so much what we were kind of with. I mean, he's a Terry Bowden, Gus Malzahn in his latter couple of years type of running back, And I mean, that's fine, but this new guy, say his name again.
Jamarian Burnett.
Wasn't he like the number two running back in Alabama or something? I mean, or he's a top 10 player in Alabama, and we don't get many of those.
And the
lately.
Top 10 running back in the country.
Yes. So that's fantastic. All right. My last football tidbit that I just thought was interesting, because some people were talking. I forget exactly how this played out. There was a conversation going on Twitter, and it ended up turning into something about the 83 – oh, about the – it was about the 83 and the 93 teams that maybe had a taste of the national championship, were never acknowledged. And it just dawned on me, and I went and researched to make sure it was accurate, but I was like, I wasn't sure I remembered the rankings before and after, but I did. This is a really weird statistic, John. In both 1983 and 1993, Nebraska went into bowl season two spots in the top 25 ahead of Auburn, right? In both years, Nebraska lost the bowl game. And in both years, Auburn didn't lose a bowl game. And in both years, Nebraska was still ranked ahead of us after that. They lost, we didn't, and they still ended up ahead of us. And it was 2 years, and it was 83 and 93, 10 years apart. In 83, Nebraska was 1, we were 3. Miami, remember, beat Nebraska. Miami jumped Nebraska to 1. Nebraska was 2, and we were 3. So Nebraska lost and still finished ahead of us. And then in 93, we went into bowl season number 3. No, we went into bowl season number 4, and Nebraska was number 2. And Nebraska lost to Florida State, and we didn't play a bowl. And Nebraska dropped from 2 to 3. So in both years, they dropped from 2 ahead of us to 1 ahead of us, but they stayed ahead of us. I just thought that was bizarre. 10 years apart. It's so bizarre. All right.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we're going to go back to the basketball team for a minute in terms of the roster and what to look at coming up in the future. So what do we know about it now? What do you want to talk about there?
All right. So this is what I want to talk about, is kind of where the roster goes from here. I want to start with kind of a basic reset about where we're going and the situation we're in, and then I want to talk about what we think might happen or what we'd like to see happen. So here's the deal. Going into the season, we're getting what we've been on, this self-imposed NCAA penalties thing, which kept us out of that one NCAA tournament we definitely would have made if we were under penalties. And that was me being funny.
I was going to say, I'm sitting there going, wait, I know the one we wouldn't have made. Oh, absolutely. We were a lock for the tournament that year, John, and it was
that's
really...
why that self-imposed ban was so important, man.
Oh,
so,
that self-imposed ban hurt. It hurt us. Yes. All right, continue.
So part of that penalty was giving up a basketball scholarship. So that is over. So we actually have an extra basketball scholarship on the team starting next year. In addition, Zepp is done. His college season is over. He is leaving.
Let's make that clear. Zepp is the only player on the entire roster that absolutely positively is gone.
Cannot play college basketball again, no matter what.
Yeah. I want to say, I don't remember if I mentioned this last time, but he's talking about broadcasting, and now he's thinking about coaching, and that would be awesome.
All right. So with the one from the scholarship penalties coming back and Zepp, that's two scholarships potentially available. We have one signee coming in next fall for sure. That's Aiden Holloway, who's a primarily a point guard, but a really good shooter as a point guard.
Thank gosh.
So after Aiden Holloway, we have one available scholarship left. Okay.
Right.
Now, we think there may be other people leaving. That's normal in college basketball. But so I wanted to ask you, if we had 1, 2, 3 scholarships available, what kind of players, what kind of skills do you want to see as on the team next year?
Well, the most critical need we have is a 3-point shooter, somebody that can put points on the board. And I think
consistent.
Yeah, consistent 40%+ shooter. The second most pressing need we have, I think, is a taller point guard.
Well, I would say a taller guard, period.
Okay.
Because really, in my mind, when we're talking about size of guard, we're talking about defense. I want a guard that's taller and a little stronger that can guard the other team's, 6'4", super athletic guy at guard, right? Can get in his face and block shots or contest shots, and then they could stay in front of those really athletic guards. We had a lot of problems with that this year.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think we need? That's the two that come to me.
I 100% we need a bigger guard to play defense. Like, we really got toasted by some other teams' big physical fast guards. But we need outside shooting too. Especially with assuming Broom comes back again, which is an assumption, we must get better outside shooting. It will complement him so much.
Oh, yeah.
He'll pull the defense away. And the shooters will get open shots because everybody's going to want to collapse in on Broom. So just those two things go so well together that the outside shooting really could make a difference there.
Yeah, and I feel like we are going to lose at least 2 or 3 more people because I don't see Flan coming back. I love him, and I for all that we kind of gave him crap for 2 years ago that he just couldn't seem to come back from his injury. He was a human turnover machine on a really good team. But on a lesser team this year, he was one of the highlights. I think there's any yes. doubt. He was one
he was
of the,
really good.
He was one of the three best players on this team, honestly, most of the season, I think. And just dynamic. But I don't – I just have a sense that Flan is not coming back. Stretch Akinbola has been on our roster since the Reagan administration, and he never plays. What is the deal with that? Is he just a practice player? What's the deal with him?
Yes.
He's just there to enjoy – can I get that deal? Just enjoy free meals and hang out with the team all the time? That'd be awesome.
Well, again, I think he probably works his rear end off in practice.
I'm sure he does. I don't
he's the guy that had to go up against Walker Kessler every day.
He did.
You know, and now Broome this year, so that's no picnic.
Yes.
But also, I think you need – this is the other thing about people always like, well, you got to upgrade that position. You got – that's great, but somebody's going to be the 12th or 13 players on this bench, and they're not going to play – and you have to get guys that, A, are going to practice really hard and contribute on that, and, B, are not going to be a problem in the locker room when they are not playing.
Can I point out, I do think that's one thing that Bruce has been really good at is not – and we talked about this maybe a little bit last week, right? That not just that he's gotten players with great ability – but it just seems like every year the team really does mesh as a little family, and they get along, and there's never that jealousy and the poison atmosphere in the locker room. They really do I think the coaching staff and Bruce's leadership have done a really good job with that, and the players have done year after year have done a good job with not being too selfish. You know, in fact, sometimes our team's problem is they're not selfish enough. You know, we've talked about that, so it's really remarkable, and I don't think it's talked about enough.
No, but obviously, like Stretch is a player who could go to a lower level school and potentially play, and maybe would want to do that or maybe not. We'll see. The other two players I definitely want to talk about and think about are the two freshmen from this past year, because neither one did, we've talked about this a lot, neither one did what we thought they might do, and they're both intriguing players with a ton of upside. So, you know, Johan Trejor played some up and down, his minutes were, but, you know, played a little bit at the end in a positive way, but he's really raw and didn't play a lot of basketball in high school, you know, and so has a ton of upside in the future. I think they feel like they can work with him and get him to where he is. And then Westry got hurt and then kind of disappeared, redshirted. But he's the kind of player that we need, the kind of bigger guard who, before he got hurt in Israel, was looked like the best player in the team, honestly, for a while.
Forgotten that. I couldn't even remember what position he played. I was about to ask you, what position does he play? Because, honestly, Chance Westry to me is an enigma.
He's like a 6'5 guard that can play, who can play defense and can initiate the offense. So he was kind of the missing piece. And so if he comes back and he's healthy and his confidence is back, he can be a gigantic difference maker. But then I really hope that happens. But the whole getting injured, redshirting thing makes me nervous. I mean, it just makes me – I'm getting like Justin Powell flashbacks from that, okay? So – and he disappeared and transferred. And so I just worry about that. I hope Westry's good. He stays. Yeah. And he plays next year. But there's a situation then. Aiden Holloway's coming in. Say Westry comes back and plays. Yeah. Then we got those two. Are we also going to have Wendell, KD,
I think
and
Wynn
Donaldson?
Is gone. I feel like Flan and Wynn are gone, gone, gone.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. Trey Donaldson, I don't know. I liked him. I think he has potential. Certainly, I think Trey Donaldson can be the Javon McCormick of this team.
Okay.
That's a good analogy.
I like that.
Really good backup point guard that just kind of is there every year. He's not going to run off to the NBA or anything. He's just going to be there giving you good solid minutes.
But can get hot and make some runs.
Yeah, and he did. We know he can shoot it. He was shooting it lights out there in the Iowa game. So, I think Flan and Wynn are the ones that are definitely gone. KD, I'm kind of on the bubble about because it could be a mutual parting. You know what I mean? It's like he kind of peaked last year, and then this year wasn't quite.
He was terrible early this season, but there was a point in the midseason on where he really played well and was a big difference maker. I love KD Johnson, and he's fun to watch. I know that he drives some people crazy And there are some Auburn fans who every time he does the, you know, the faces, the muggy for camera, are looking down court to see who he's supposed to be guarding, and that guy's open.
Yeah, so, just now open and dunking, yeah.
Yeah, so that happens, and that's real. And so, and I know that there were times this year when he clashed with the coaching staff.
Well,
that's real.
They asked Wendell about KD, and they said, Wendell, what do you have to say about KD? And Wendell said,
My brother is possessed by the devil and must be examined.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I think
that's fun to have. I love to have that on the team, though. I love it. I'd have nothing bad to say about him other than I wish he'd keep his head in the game a little bit more. But man, it's nice to have a spark plug, a hand grenade you can toss out there. You know, that's a valuable tool.
I mean, but could we have situation again? Let's say they come back, right?
All right.
So Wendell and Chance Westry start. Okay. Chance Westry starts at shooting guard.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Donaldson moves into the Zep role where he plays minutes kind of at both guard positions.
All right.
KD comes off the bench at shooting guard and does his KD stuff, right? All right. All right. And then Aiden Holloway plays the Donaldson role from this year as kind of the freshman who gets some minutes but not a lot, comes in the game, takes a few shots, plays a little bit, goes out.
I can see that too. Somebody told me that Wendell had already taken the Auburn stuff off of his Instagram page.
Wow.
So I don't know.
I get it. I do think we're going to bring in at least one other player at guard who's a bigger player and more of a shooter. So
well,
we've been linked to a lot of those people.
Yeah. Well, if Westry comes back, that's, you know, and plays, that's one right there already on the team. The one player that we haven't talked about is Dylan Cardwell and Jumbo. And I really love Dylan Cardwell. He's another one like KD that just gives you that emotion and that energy. And again, I understand that there can be downsides to that, but there's also big upsides to it. You need somebody that can jack everybody up, get them fired up, and all that. Yeah.
And I think at times he's an effective player in short bursts coming off the bench.
Yes.
An energy guy.
Especially on defense.
Yes. But, you know, I inconsistent there, you know, on rebounding and offense. The other guy I want to talk about is Jalen Williams. I just think, like, we thought this could be the year where he's the best player in the team, takes a big leap forward.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really happen. There were definitely stretches this year where he was the guy, but then it would be other games where he had 2 points and barely looked at the basket.
He was good at the beginnings of games, but he seemed to kind of fade away at halftime. He was the guy at the beginning that when nobody else was able to do anything with the defenses of the team, he could hit a three or he could make a shot. But he would have like 8 or 10 points sometimes by halftime, and he'd finish with 12. I mean, that happened over and over and over. And I don't know why. Maybe they adjusted, put a better defender on him or something, and then they just took him out of the game, and you needed somebody. And often somebody else did step up. You know, though, often the games where Jalen was good early were the games where, like, Wendell was good late or KD was good late, you know, or somebody else was good late. What about Chris Moore? What's his stats?
I didn't even put him on the list. I think Chris Moore is the kind of guy in my mind who's going to come back, who's happy in his role as kind of a bench rebounding defensive effort energy guy
at
one of the forward spots. And I think that's a valuable role for him. And I think in my mind, I mean, he's an Alabama native. I just think that's a guy that's going to come back and do that again. I'd be shocked if he didn't.
He's the kind of guy that Bruce always has two or three of on every team,
yes.
Right? Just a utility forward.
Mm-hmm.
Plays, you know, 6, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, gets some rebounds, gives you some fouls, maybe gets a good dunk or a good rebound, really critical moment or something. I mean, you know, we've had guys from Malik Dunbar to Horace Spencer to those guys just have come and gone, and he fits right in that mold to me.
And we have been linked to some forwards in the transfer portal, some guys on forwards and other teams who are, you know, mid-sized guys with outside shots. You could play some defense or whatever, and, you know, that'd be fun if we got something like that.
You know, the play in basketball that has become so rare that you don't see nearly as much of it as you used to, and it's gotten to where I'm like, when I see this happen now, I go, oh, they can still do that. That's pretty cool. Is like the medium range jumper. You just rarely see, because they're either going to go down inside and get a dunk or a layup, or they're going to try a three-pointer. So that middle distance shot has become kind of a specialty thing, you know?
The advanced stats of basketball say that's a bad shot, most basically, because the percentage of completion of it is not high enough to make it worth taking. You should go to the basket and get the two-pointer or the foul, or you should go back and get the three-pointer. That's why the people do that. But there are players, I think, that are really good at it. And I think we talked earlier about the Texas-Miami game. Mm-hmm. Like some of the guys in that game, Wong in particular in Miami, is great at that kind of play.
Yes.
Like that kind of foul line corner, spin it off a guy, jump shot, and it makes a difference.
I think that may be why it was on my mind, is because we saw more of it that game than we usually do. But
Miami made that giant comeback and did not make a three-pointer, I think.
Good gosh, that's so crazy. But the player that we had that seemed to be particularly good at that, again, was Flanagan.
Yes.
He could make shots from middle distance. He didn't just always feel the need to back up and try a three-pointer every time, which drove me crazy about. Again, when Bryce Brown would do that, I'm like, okay, that's fine. But when somebody that is like shooting 20% from three-point range just insists on doing that, I'm just like, why not just hand them the ball? Why not just hand the other team the ball and say, here, you do something with this. I'm not really interested in doing anything productive with it right now, so I'll let you have it. So.
Tell us how you really feel about it.
So any other thoughts about the roster and all that? I think we've pretty much covered everybody.
I think we pretty much covered it. So if you had to pick two guys that you think would not be back,
Flanagan,
who would you pick?
Yeah. Wow. And it's not that I don't want them back. I'd love to have both of them back. They're the ones I just feel like seem to kind of like be eyeing the exit. You know what I mean? I got the sense mm-hmm. they're the ones that are kind of looking at the exit. The others either have no other place to go, probably, unless it's down, you know, to a smaller school. Or are good contributors and would like Broom. Why wouldn't Broom come back? He was the most valuable player on the team most of the season, and is going to have more, you know, a chance to do even more next year. It'll be his team.
Yeah. Again, I think the only reason Broom wouldn't come back if he thought he was going to get picked in the NBA draft first round, but he's not. So
right.
he needs to come back and have another really strong year to get there. So
yeah.
Other than that, does Jalen Williams want to do this again? Does he want to come back and be more aggressive, Jalen, again, or just accept your role kind of? I don't know.
He's kind of the Valtteri Bottas of this Auburn team.
There's an analogy.
Yeah, a couple people get it. I made a Formula One reference on the Babylon 5 podcast of the day, and we had people commenting in saying, oh, yeah, that was good. I'm like, hey, there you know. Well, you never know, so.
I want to hear from people who liked or didn't like that analogy.
So. Yeah, that's good. Let's hear. We will now. That's all you had to do, and now we're going to get tweets and emails and everything. That's fine. That's fine. But did you know what I mean, though, that he's the Valtteri Bottas?
I get it.
He's kind of like the vanilla, can be good, second fiddle guy, you know. Is he going to come back or not? Yeah.
One of the other podcasts listed to describes players like that as like oatmeal. everybody can't be like the greatest thing ever. You need some oatmeal, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's the kind of player that Bruce is really good at bringing in and getting the most out of. There's no doubt about it. So, all right. Well, we got to remind everybody, we do not do ads on this show. You're welcome. We don't do ads. I can't listen to podcasts anymore that I don't hear so many ads, and they're rude ads. They interrupt. Like it's like if there was an ad for – let me find something that would be really good here. Let's say that there was going to be – let's say there was going to be an airing of Conan the Barbarian and coming up, and we were sponsored by that channel, right? So you and I would be like, you know, John, blah 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 blah, and blah blah blah, and
crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and they hear the lamentation of the women.
And then so-and-so, John. And then it just drops right in the middle of our conversation. I hate that. I hate ads like that. We don't have any ads, though. The only ads we have is for what we give you. And what we give you is being part of the AU Wishbone family. Go to www.auwishbone.com. You can be part of things like the brackets, which we got to get a bracket update. Because, man, has that thing done 50 cartwheels the last few days.
Are you ready for the bracket update?
Well, get this. Yeah, but get this. I was like 19 forever, and then I looked at it in the middle of the Sweet 16, and I was up to number 4. I was number 4 briefly. That was when Houston was still alive, right? And then when Houston lost, I went from 4 to like 30. So there was this one shining moment, and then it just, the bottom dropped out. So tell us how things look right now, John.
All right, as you said, there's been a lot of upheaval.
There's been a lot.
I think we have 63 people in the bracket pool. There is one person with the champion left.
Yeah.
And that is AU Fan at KSC has UConn as their winner, so we'll see.
I want to hear from AU Fan at KSC. How did you pick number 4 seed UConn to be the national champion? I've got to know that.
I have UConn in my Final Four.
Well,
so okay, I think that's going to help me here at the end. So
it is, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're up to number 12. Look at you. Look at Johnny up to number 12. Holy cow. I'm telling you, there have been so much turmoil. This thing has been all over the place the last few days. I'm all the way down to 20. I was number 4.
Ah. Yeah. So, Alex for the win. Alex Mahan, 404 bracket not found. Sasquatch knows basketball and 8-Ball the Tiger.
It's not the actual 8-Ball. I know 8-Ball the Tiger personally. That's not him. But I like it. I like it anyway. It's okay. It's a good tribute.
And Taj Mahaley Center right after
that's
him.
Good.
And then you're correct. I'm in 12th. I got UConn in the Final Four, so we'll see how that goes. There's a Boris's Burner account not far after me. Good news for everybody is Clay Henson's I Hope I'm Wrong bracket.
he was wrong.
Tied with 12th. He had Alabama winning. So,
thank you.
And Chris Moore's bloody chin down to 28th. Boris the Tiger.
I don't know
if that's the real Boris
that's
at
the
31. They have Marquette winning.
Yes, I think that's the actual Boris at 31. Not too bad. Right above Kathy.
Kathy Bright.
Right above Kathy. That's right.
And you get to see them right above Santa Free. So
that's all.
That's the bracket update. So we'll see what happens. We'll see. Depending on how it goes, it's been fun. I think it's been interesting.
Yeah.
We'll see where it goes from here.
It is funny how many of us, because this was how you could kind of see what was going to happen, is it shows you how many points you have, and it also shows you how many points you could have. And there's a bunch of us that are already maxed out. Like I have 490, and my max is 490. My bracket's already done. I already threw it away. I'm just done, right? There's nothing else that can happen. But like AU Fan at KSC has 500, so he's in 16th. But he could have 980 if his thing come right. So he could still win. He's in 16th. Mm-hmm. He's in 16th right now and could still win in a landslide depending on how things go. So there's still hope. You get a lot more points in the later rounds than you do in the early rounds. So, our current leader, Alex for the win, 770 is his max. So he still has 160 points he could still score. Whereas our number 2 person right now can't get any more. Number 3 can't get any more. Number 4, number 5, number 6, number 7, number 8, number 9, number 10, number 11, number 12, 13, 14, 15. All of them are maxed out. They're all maxed out. Everybody below number 1 is maxed out until you get down to AU Fan at KSC with UConn. So that's really cool. It's really going to come down to those two.
Weird bracket pool. I've done bracket pools a lot over the years, a lot, and this has got to be the weirdest one.
Yeah, it is the weirdest because there's only 2 people left, I think, that can win. Alex for the win and AU Fan at KSC. One of them is in first and one of them is in 16th, but only one of them can win, right? Because everybody below Alex is maxed out below what he has now.
Yep.
So there you go. That's crazy. Yeah. It's down to those two. I'm just figuring this out now, but it is. It's down to those two. One of you get, depending on if, so put it this way, if UConn wins the national championship, AU Fan at KSC is probably going to be the champion. Going to jump all the way from 16th. Otherwise, Alex for the win is probably going to hold on. So we'll see. Should be fun. Yeah, so I was going to thank folks. We have a Formula One race coming up this coming weekend, so we'll do a Formula One update after that race. There's more races this year than there's ever been, but they're spread out more too. They started, you know, really early in March, and we haven't even had but two so far, and they go all the way into like November, so they're very spread out. But anyway, if you want to get to be part of all of this, go to www.auwishbone.com, and click on the big orange button to become a patron. I'm going to tell you who our patrons are, but let's go ahead and do Guess the Game, because I forgot to open it up. So let's go ahead and start Guess the Game. Jared has sent us Guess the Game number 85. So are you ready for Guess the Game?
Bring it on. Who can
it be now? Hello, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrecht, the yard sale artist, here with Guess the Game 85. Guess the Game 85 is brought to you by Josh Corbett, so let's give a listen to what Josh sent in.
They line up to the right side. There she goes. Tussle tip. Oh, my gosh! Touchdown on the Hail Mary.
Okay, guys, I will see you in the hint file.
All right, so that was Vern.
That was Vern.
A CBS game, and it sounded like a pass that was tipped and then caught in the end zone.
Yeah, I think I know.
But it's not the miracle of Jordan-Hare.
No, it's not the 2013 Georgia play. I don't think so.
All right, what do you think it is?
It's a Hail Mary. And it was tipped and caught in a surprising move. And
it's, was it Florida or the Alabama 93-94?
No, it's more recent. It's Vern and very good audio quality. Think about that. I'm going to see if you can figure it out. And if you can, that makes me think that I'm on the right track. Okay.
Williams?
Huh?
Seth Williams?
No. I mean, it could be, but that's not what I'm thinking. Let me see if I can get you to figure out what I'm thinking, and then we'll see if it makes sense. All right. So a game that would be big enough in stature that it's Vern is there doing it, right? Mm-hmm. So it would be a big game for whatever reason, a big game, and our quarterback throws a Hail Mary that is tipped and caught for a touchdown in a surprising fashion, and... on a Vern Lundquist game, I'm going to say an SEC championship game.
So you're talking about Missouri.
That's one possibility, but I don't think we had a Hail Mary against them.
So was there one of those that went to Cody Burns or somebody?
Going into halftime against South Carolina in 2010, and I think it was it wasn't Cody. It was
Darvin.
Darvin. I think it was Darvin Adams. Maybe I think it's Cam Newton to Darvin Adams. Just before halftime, and Steve Spurrier's jaw hits the artificial turf. Here comes the clue.
All right, let's get rid of those bleeps and give it another listen.
They line up to the right side. There she goes. Tussle tip. Oh, my gosh. Darvin Adams. Touchdown on the Hail Mary.
There you go. I will see you in the answer file.
And you got to love the fact that it sounds like a home game, but it's in Atlanta.
Yes. I mean, that was the crowd really had a home crowd sound to it. It's one of the things that threw me off there.
Right.
I kept thinking Jordan-Hare. So.
Yeah, it sounded – that's a good thing because we turned the Georgia – that was a Georgia Dome, I believe. Yeah, we turned it before Mercedes. All right, so here's just to
– Welcome to the answer file. John, Van, if you guys figured out that – this is the South Carolina game for the SEC championship back in 2010. Then you guessed right. I want to thank Josh Corbett for sending that in. If you want to be like Josh and send in a play for Guess the Game, you can send it to me on social media at Yard Sale Artist, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's all at Yard Sale Artist. Or you can email me directly at Jared. That's Jarrod. At theyardsaleartist.com. Until next time, Van, John, War Eagle.
Yeah, that was another good one. I like that. it just rang a bell for me. That's what they do sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, oh, that, you know, that rings a bell, and sometimes it doesn't. So that one worked out. Thank you very much, Jared, for once again.
And Josh Corbett for suggesting it.
Always, yeah. Great deal. Great job. All right. So I didn't name the patrons. Let me run through them real quickly. We have to thank, as always, Samuel Salvatore, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Boris the Tiger's Burner account, Carl Von Drunker, Logan Chilton, Van and John say no more.
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
And I say
no.
So there you go. Ann Kanjian, Bill Weathers, Bradley Blackman, Daniel Odom, Eric Morgan, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC. There's our possible winner. We'll see what happens. Matthew Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil M. Thor. Phil M. Thor.
No!
That one's going to get a lot of work, I can see right now. Richard Stevens, Steve Travick, Susan Travick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden. I want to
dispel once and for all with this fiction.
Auburn is the only team from the state to make the Final Four. Well played, sir or ma'am. Well played. Good job. Once again, I have to say,
tonight's forecast, a freeze is coming.
I love it. It always makes me happy. You know, I'm going to go ahead and throw this in there, too.
I want you to put the word out there that we back up. Understand me? We back up.
That's right. Let's see, we've got 76 Tiger Esquire, who is, of course, the sleazy shyster and health inspector liaison for
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
That is right. Alex Browns, Ben Bloodworth, Bleeds Orange and Blue, Chris Hilton, Chris Thrash, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, Earl Ricks, Bobby. Every time John skips leg day, he has to clean the dishes and toenail clippers at
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
Before he is allowed to
smoke weed every day.
There you go. That was a very elaborate one. I like when they like turn it into a novel. And now, an AU Wishbone ABC novel for television, for podcasting. Hope Springs Eternal. And let's see. Oh, I got to do a random one. I'm going to do it again because I like it so much.
I want you to put the word out there that we back up. Understand me? We back up.
There you go. Jacob and Robin Fleming, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Lane Middleton, Life is Pain, War Eagle Anyway. That must have been after we lost to Houston. Logan, Mickey B, No, and Fights Like Gaston, Algo Rhythm and Blues, Paul Miles, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Steve Harlan, Theodore Geary, Van, Let's Hear Your Best Impression of Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage. Don't play the clip. Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage. Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage. How's that?
Please clap.
There you go. Good deal. All right. You made me do it. Now my voice is shot. Warhammer 6. WDE Richie says freeze plus White Walker equals winter is coming. And then play this to annoy John.
Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage.
now it's being specifically requested just to annoy you. This is what we've come to. Anything.
I want more requests to make Van just sing the audio clip.
There was one time I did that. Remember that? Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Win Carroll. By the way, when we first went on the air tonight, or before we went on the air, when we first connected on StreamYard, I was trying to play that audio clip from Ready Player One at the beginning, and John couldn't hear it. And I thought, well, that's weird, but at least you can hear the soundboard. He couldn't hear the soundboard either. So it was a good thing I did that, because we figured out that my computer had reset. Every time my computer restarts for an update, it resets all the audio settings. I have to go in and manually put them back over again. John, can you out there in podcast land, and John only can hear the soundboard because I force my computer to let you, and I have to go back and tell it to every time. Fortunately, we found out. Win Carroll, Winston Boddy, Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Brandon Smith, Carter Glaus, Colby Butler, Corey Smyer, David D, David Simpson, Die Bama, Hugh Anderson, Hugo Sleazes, How to Lie to Your Players for Fun and Profit. Josh Teal, Just Wait Till Next Year. Kevin Mahan, Luther and Kelly Ottaway, Melissa Blackstone, Official Auburn Area San Diego State Fan Club President since March 24, 2023.
Please clap.
That's really good. That's good. On to victory, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, and our one-time and anonymous donors. Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle87, at the Mad Reaper Pepper Company on Instagram. Haven't had any this week. I put some on my, I made hash brown omelets last week and put some on it, and I survived to tell the tale. It's so good. Honestly, after you've gone Mad Reaper Pepper Company pepper sauce, it's hard to go back to other pepper sauces because they're basically water at that point. It's just, you can't go back. Alex Nguyen, Ben Amos, Ben Regis, Brian Albanese, Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Chris Braun, Colonel Dead, a.k.a. Ben Zane, I'm missing my good visitor, Construction Tiger, and finally, Daniel Barnett, Daniel Witten, Darren Pyle, Elizabeth Donald, Escort Hugh Freeze elsewhere.
We gotta get better at celebrating.
I'll buy this for a dollar. James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrecht, Jeremiah Schumann, Jim McCrory, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains, The Barbecue.
You have failed me for the last time.
AKA Auburn Dad for Life. Mark Squire, MVP Captivating Kathy Bray.
Your love of the halfling's leaf has clearly slowed your mind.
My bracket is busted, but I am still Tiger, exclusive mouse catcher for...
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
Yum. Nate Oates was at the wrong place at the wrong time and ended up starting his off-season job at...
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
It's getting out of control, John. It's getting out of control. It's gone beyond... I think John has just given up. He's leaving. New York Tiger was accused of harassing the masseuse at... Oh, no.
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
It's out of control. It's simply gone out of control now. Paul Banks and Rich Hammett, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland. Spanky, I am at the bottom of this list because...
Scott Wilson!
But...
Monkey boy.
That's right. Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis, who I saw celebrating that Auburn has won its fifth equestrian SEC championship in a row. We should mention that. Five in a row. That's pretty dang good. That's incredible. Stephen Thompson, Slinko Family, Tim Sauls, Trevor Johnson, Why Are You Booing John? He's Right, Brent Rumble, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. Go ahead and tack that on. Go to www.auwishbone.com. And now we got to hop in the Aubiemobile, don't we?
It's time.
Here it goes.
Let's take a trip around the SEC.
All right, what have we got going on around the SEC? Not a whole lot right now, right?
Skip list your questions.
I did. All right. Well, back up then. We've already played the one thing.
Wait, play the record scratch.
There we go.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
Man, I missed listener questions, Q, and John was like,
oh my God!
All right, go ahead. Fire it up.
I was getting ready to read the email, and I was there like, wait, go. This is not around the
AU. I messed
so
up.
So our first email is from Mark Sandy, who I apologize. Mark... You know, got the invitation and somehow ended up in a different bracket group than the AU Wishbone ones.
Oh, man.
Phantom bracket group. But he would be tied with me for 12th with 510 points, but he did have Alabama winning, so it's not going to happen. But his email was titled "That Update from the Rogue Bracket Group."
That's cool.
All right. First email is from Rusty Owens.
Hey, Rusty.
Who said this is a what if question.
Yep.
Van, since you're a big Marvel fan, I was thinking about a thought exercise this weekend. In 2006, Auburn beats Alabama for the sixth straight time. Game wasn't secure until a last drive interception. If Bama wins that game, they maybe don't fire Shula and hire Saban. Fast forward to 2021. Tank is forced out of bounds and Bama is able to come back and win in four overtimes. What if Tank stays inbound? The former coach at Auburn, beats Alabama in his first year.
Potatoes.
So the question is, does that change the thought process of the powers that be? Kind of hard to fire coach under that circumstance. If so, does he change his outlook if things start improving? Does he stay a 7-8 win coach? If you were to ask an Alabama fan in 2002, what would they take six losing seasons in exchange for multiple championships down the road? If you would ask an Auburn fan if they would take two losses to get Coach Freeze and a better shot at success in the future, would they take it? What if?
Well, let me the one thing I'd adjust there, just a slight error, is when we beat Alabama in 06 and got rid of Shula, that was our fifth win in a row.
Yes.
We then beat Saban in his first year, and then that was it.
That was the one for the thumb.
Yeah. So, but no, his point is very well taken, and I have thought about that before. The idea that would we trade that Iron Bowl win to have Potato around longer? And I'm like, I mean, I want to beat Alabama more than almost anything, but I also wanted to Julianne fry, slice and dice, and deep fry the potato. So I can't. It's just, I can't go there. It's too good of a what if. I'll wait for the for the animated episode on Disney Plus.
I like it. All right. And next question is for Bill Miner, a regular question asker, whose title of his email is Final Four. He says, guys, since we have no SEC teams in the Final Four this year, let's reminisce about the last time that SEC team went, which was us. Which singular event that occurred that season and tournament run do you wish we could have changed, which may have led to us winning the national championship and driving those across the state into even greater hysteria than they are? He said, there's three obvious ones I can think of. Okay. A, Okiki not getting injured against North Carolina.
That's huge.
B, the double dribble getting called. Davion Mitchell not transferring away to Baylor. He says, but my choice is Jared Harper missed one of two free throws to give us only a 2-point lead coming into the final seconds of the UVA game. Had he nailed both, it would have given us a 3-point lead, and the ending plays out drastically different, likely in our favor.
So if we'd had a 3-point lead, their shot would have sent us to overtime. Their three foul shots would have sent that game to overtime.
Yes.
I don't want to go to overtime with that Virginia team. I want to win the game, so I'm going to say they call the double dribble. Because we win the game. It's over at that point. If they call that double dribble, the game's over and we win. No Chuma. Free throw, no free throw. None of that matters. We win the game.
That's fair. I like that one.
Yeah.
Would have been fun to see us full strength of the Kiki against teams.
It would have. But you never know. I mean, we could have lost the Kentucky game with Chuma.
No, we could have played worse. Yeah, you're right.
You never know. So, yes.
Okay. I like that one. That was a good email. Thought. Absolutely. Again, a couple thought-provoking emails.
Yeah, both these have been real good, no doubt.
All right. Parker Neal, who says Boris the Tiger's burner account, says, with the basketball team arguably exceeding expectations while at the same time performing worse than we thought preseason, what do you think our offseason will look like from Bruce Pearl and staff? Also, cue the Marvel music. Let's talk about defensive line players and their Marvel equivalents. P.S. Jared, if you're out there listening, help a few podcast hosts with some Marvel help. Thanos is gaining strength. Sincerely, Parker Neal. Doc Crackham, Boris the Tiger's burner.
Oh, yeah. That is Dr. Crackham. Yeah.
I think Bruce Pearl and his staff are going to be aggressive. And I think we had the discussion earlier about the roster. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see some change. I think you're going to see the players leave and player come in. The last time we had a kind of basically a disappointing season was the Sharif Cooper year. Okay? Yes.
And did we have a totally different team.
After that year was dramatically different.
Yes.
Up, down, sideways. And we were linked to a lot of players along the way. So there was a lot of movement all through the offseason on that roster before it ended up getting where it was. But it ended up, you know, turning into a roster that won the SEC. So I think we're going to see a huge change in the basketball roster, maybe more than we want even. But I think it's going to end up with a team that could compete for the SEC titles.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be ideal. That's what we want. I agree. And Bruce will do it. And you know what? He'll sit down with the players and he'll work out, you know, the path forward for them. He'll get them transferred somewhere if they need to go, or tell them they need to move on to the NBA, or tell them, you know, whatever. He doesn't just throw them overboard, but he'll give them guidance and he'll improve the team without hurting them. So, yeah, I love it.
Auburn Elvis sent an email. All it said was Auburn Equestrian.
Yeah, well, I wanted to mention they won their fifth SEC in a row. That's amazing.
It's like Auburn teams that are dynasties, five consecutive SEC titles. So
yeah, we used to be swimming and diving, and now we're equestrian. We got a lot of horsepower. That's right.
We're an equestrian school.
Yep. Nay.
So that's it for listener questions.
All right. And we already did the We already cranked up the Aubiemobile. So the only around the SEC thing I know of is you had a note about LSU.
Yeah, LSU lost their defensive line coach and their best recruiter,
who left
and went to the NFL. And we're just really broken up about that.
I don't know. I'm going to be in mourning for all of less than 0 seconds, so that's terrible. Yeah, all right. Well, any final thoughts for this week?
Van, sometimes when I'm having a tough day at work or things are going my way and I'm really worn down, I'm going to think back. San Diego State crushing the life out of that Alabama basketball team, and it's going to just bring me a little extra pep in my step, a little extra sunshine and joy.
There's nothing in life much better. Well, the best thing in life is Auburn winning stuff. The second best thing in life is when Alabama fans have to yell,
"No! No! No! I'm devastated! I'm devastated! And they're celebrating right in front of me! This is the worst! This is the worst!"
That's so good. That's the best, right? Those two sound clips are roughly equivalent. Alabama's saying that, and Ode to Joy.
Same, I like it.
Same thing. Same sound clip. I couldn't tell any audio difference between those two clips. So, well, we got the Final Four coming up next weekend. That'll be fun. We'll see which one of these Cinderellas is going to wear the glass slipper and all that nonsense. That'll be cool. We got Formula One this weekend. We got IndyCar, I think, comes back this weekend, too, which will be cool.
That's right.
And... if you like Ready Player One, I've done two shows now with the Surely You Can't Be Serious podcast. These two guys that do really good 80s pop culture coverage on their show. And with David Wright, who's on the White Rocket show a good bit. And we talked all about the book in one episode. We talked all about the movie in one episode. So check that out over on our sister show, the White Rocket Entertainment Network's White Rocket podcast. They're actually episodes 198 and 199. That show's about to hit 300 just as we hit 400 here a couple of weeks ago, or last week, I think it was, right?
That's a lot of podcasts, man.
That's a lot of freaking podcasts, man. Yeah. All right. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.